Blog Talk Radio.
Test, hello.
Hello, I am Chuck Landington welcoming you to an all-new Metal Injection livecast. We're back after 2 weeks off. I fear that all this time apart has lowered our tolerance for sits farts. I hope Rob used some of that live read money on gas masks, or else we might be looking at way more than 2 weeks off next time. God help us. Here's the show.
We're back! Yay! Sid's farts have been terrible today. It's been a while since I've seen Sid, though.
Come on, man. There's no farts yet.
I just walked in. Were there no farts?
Not yet.
Okay. Oh, so then...
It actually smells like poop in here.
That's just the studio?
No, Sid has changed so much over the last 2 weeks. He farts out poopery instead of...
Oh! It's just that I have a bottle of it up there. So every time I fart...
And every time you sit down, it presses the top of the spray.
I was going to say, hopefully the genetic modification experiment worked, and Sid's farts now produce poop-free.
He also has an extra ear growing on his ass.
So the farts are all really loud to me.
I was
going
to say, hopefully the...
Oh. Okay. Having a little echo. By the way, I want to remind everyone that today's live cast is brought to you by The Divinity of Purpose, the new studio album from Hatebreed, which features the songs Put It to the Torch, Honor Never Dies, and Own Your Own World. You can download it now on iTunes. And I'm really pumped because Jamie Josta of Hatebreed is going to be calling into the show today.
Excited, Noah.
Yeah.
Noah's a big Hatebreed fan. Anytime she goes and does some cardio, she's just putting on perseverance and just like, yeah. I will be hard.
Well, every time I'm at the gym where I'm picking up change,
Oh, you mean picking up change?
Yeah.
That move. Yeah. Strangely enough, it's called picking up change.
Yeah.
I always thought you just did that because you were Jewish.
She's looking for actual coins on the ground while doing that.
That's true. I'm checking under the belt of the treadmill and everything.
I mean, while you're down there, if there is some change, why not pick it up, right?
She just finds any aerobics group that's doing, like, jumping jacks or something, and she goes to the sound of falling coinage.
37 at the gym this week.
There's people that go to the beach with metal detectors. She just finds jumping people at the gym. This is good.
While listening to Hatebreed.
She's waiting for a Fanta can to fall out of some fat woman's leotard.
No.
5 cents, everybody!
So, we've been gone for a few weeks.
Yes.
Two weeks, in fact.
Well, we've been gone for 3 weeks. It's been 3 weeks since we did a show.
True.
Huh?
But we missed two shows.
Oh, okay.
So, what has everyone been up to? Darren, what has changed in your world?
Absolutely nothing.
You've been... Wow.
I'm a very steady person. I do the same thing all the time.
Fair enough. Sid, anything new in your life?
I have a sore throat, but that's about it.
Sid was telling me how at 3 a.m. he was trying to gargle warm salt water.
Because that supposedly is like a good home remedy for sore throats. Mm-hmm. Like if you gargle with warm salt water,
but it
makes me gag, so I can't do it. And I tried like 5 times over this fucking weekend, and I'm like, I'm a fucking adult. How can I not, like, do this?
It's water and salt. What's
it just makes me gag. I almost threw up every fucking time. I could not do it.
I just like thinking of Sid and, like, his fuzzy robe and, like,
no
bunny
robe.
Slippers.
Yeah, it's like a t-shirt.
No robe. Au naturel, no
robe.
Okay. No, well, this is my imagery.
You put a robe on him because you don't want to look at him without his clothes on.
Yeah. Actually, it's not really a robe. Nice. It's just his chest hair.
Oh, a robe of chest hair?
A robe of chest hair.
Fair enough.
I
will not disagree.
A robe of chest hair. and his fuzzy slippers just gagging over the kitchen sink.
Yeah, it's very sad.
With his wife's Hello Kitty dolls around.
If anyone in our audience embroiders or knits, we should have send them Sid's chest hair so that they could produce a robe.
There's actually a company, I don't know if it's a company or just like one single woman without many friends who makes like sew stuff out of cat hair.
Okay, well, cool. We'll just tell her it's cat hair.
Yeah.
That is basically my worst nightmare, to put on a sweater of cat hair, I feel, because I'm so allergic. I would die.
Did you see the video that was circulating on the internet? I don't even remember what show it was from, like My Secret Addiction or whatever, about the lady who eats cat hair. That was all over the internet.
Her own cats, or what is she?
I haven't seen that, but I remember I was like looking at some memes of like the most ridiculous, you know, topics on Maury, and one of them is, I'm addicted to eating toilet paper.
Yeah.
Or cotton
balls. Yeah, and it's like, and then I it was just a picture of it. So I'm like, I have to look this up. I have to see if this is real.
Did you try the toilet paper?
No, I didn't. That's disgusting, Sid.
Yeah.
Was it used toilet paper? Or?
No, it was new. But then,
like tasting the things that toilet paper is
supposed
to.
I thought it was a fruit roll-up.
That's gross.
You did a song about it. What do you mean
that's
gross? That's
gross. That's gross. I sampled it. It's not like a.
So why don't you sample the toilet paper? Maybe that's also good.
No, the texture of the cotton is just. I don't like cotton in my
mouth.
Then
do single ply.
I love how this same combo happens every time you make that joke. He has to just say, "No, I just tasted it."
Well, it's because I've been getting
a happy-go-lucky song.
The thing is, I've been getting tweets where people are like, "Oh, says the guy that eats his own cum." It's like,
really?
First of all,
really?
Yes, really.
I set
Sid.
Up 18
and
different
it's not
Twitter
Sid.
Accounts.
I was gonna say it must be Sid. Who
was it? You, Sid?
No. Wait, hold on. You're known as the guy. Not you. Like, this is not someone that
I
knows you from Metal
one.
Injection. It's just some random guy that knows you as the cum guy.
No,
what do you
no.
mean some random guy? No. Someone who listens to the show. How would some random guy?
I thought maybe it's
Who's
that big of a meme.
Rumor?
I thought maybe it's that big of a meme that now you're separate from
no.
Metal Injection.
I would hope not.
I hope so too. That's terrible. Sid,
let's start that.
I just
Everyone
tried it once. Jake, I you might not know the story, but I
By
was
way,
curious,
here.
And I tasted my own cum once.
And he sang a song about it.
Yeah. I eventually sang a song about
what
it.
What did it taste like?
Cum?
All the other cum tasted. No different.
It tasted like slightly salt, thick water. I got
so high. Wait, Sid, you should gargle with Rob's cum then.
Come on. If I can't handle salt water. I thought it might be fun to say. I drank some mango. It's not what I'm used to. Just wanna have some fun. I'm curious just to drink ejaculation. I ate my cum and I liked it. I hope Jamie Joss isn't listening.
I hope he is.
I hope he waits.
Because he retweeted Metal Injection.
Oh,
maybe.
Dear. Oh, dear.
This is going to be on the next Hatebreed covers album.
Yeah. He's like, ejaculation.
So happy.
There were a
so
lot of takes, but I enjoyed singing that.
You were good. You were very good.
You enjoyed doing the research for that song more than actually
He got into the character.
Method.
I believe when we've talked about this previously, and we're just opening up an old can of worms now.
You eat a can of worms,
yeah.
too?
No!
I just tasted
He dipped the worms in his cum. Gross.
No, it's
like
just
spicy cold.
Other people in the chat have said that they tried tasting
right.
their own cum
they
as
did.
Well.
That's
and
true.
It's not like I ate up the whole wad of
right.
cum. It's just I you know, put my index finger in there, got a dab
it into your mouth.
A dab of semen, and I, you know, I wafted it like a science experiment first, made sure it smelled all right.
Looked at it, played it with he like rolled it around in his finger.
We had a bunch of these Williamsburg hipsters come over and had a cum tasting party.
Too far.
Too far. The hipsters are disgusting. Yeah, you're not your own cum. I saw a thing on Reddit. It's actually now a famous thread on Reddit where a guy came into a box. Every time he jerked off into a box for like 3 years and saved it and put a pic. Like he said, after a
like
while.
Like a cardboard box?
Yeah, cardboard box. He just got disgusted by it. He wanted to burn it. He couldn't even burn it because it was too damp.
Did it turn
from
into
the
like,
cum.
Oh, see, I thought it would turn into like limestone or like. Those,
limestone?
Those, no, those like icicle things. But
we should Google it. It's called Cumbox. You'll immediately get a picture of his Cumbox. Reddit Cumbox.
There's a warning on it.
So, Jake, have you ever tried your own cum? Were you ever curious what your cum tastes like?
Dude, I can never remember what my cum tastes like.
He's always black. Oh, yeah. He always blacks out.
Yeah.
The night is over for you?
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, I think everyone's tasted themselves a little bit.
Not even
by accident.
All right, guys.
What was that?
We have a few people in the chat. Give us a yes or a no. Have you ever tried your own cum? This is important. This is important. This is a science experiment.
And then have you ever tried Rob's cum?
I'm going to say
or
no.
Or gargled with it.
Maybe I should start sending out cum. Maybe that should be a prize.
You just
come on every prize that you send out.
If we ever send Shankletown his fantasy football prize, that'll be it.
It should just be a jar of Rob's cum.
Instead of signing a metal injection poster, we could just all come on a metal injection poster and send him that.
How do you know Rob's not doing that already?
It's possible.
No.
We got more yeses than noes in the chat.
Well, there you go.
Two against one.
No.
No judgments here. No judgment. Nothing wrong with that.
That's not for me, but I
support your choices.
But you've tasted other people's cum. Like
what? Beg your pardon?
No, I haven't.
Where were you going with that? I'm just curious.
I don't know, like, if you're eating a girl out.
Oh, a girl's cum, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a man's cum.
Just got a cream pie from some other
No. That hasn't happened.
Also, I mean, living in New York, going on the subway, you never know what the hell.
Yeah, that's true. Or eating at McDonald's.
Yeah, I didn't wash my hands when I got off the train, so I guess I ate 48 people's cum.
Yeah.
Among other things, like toenails.
Hope it's just cum.
Poop.
Bacteria.
Partially digested food.
Herpes.
Vomit. Herpes.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Noah, you had an eventful week this week, right?
Yeah. Well, we all went to NAMM separately.
We all being me and you.
Yeah.
And Jake.
Oh, and Jake, yeah.
Well,
Didn't Frank go?
No, Frank didn't go.
Okay.
So Jake and I went to NAMM, and you went to NAMM. And okay, can we talk about that party that we went to? At the Hilton?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't really a party. But, like, basically, so NAMM, just for people who don't know, it's the National Association of Music Merchants. There's just a bunch of instrumentation companies.
It's like going to a giant Sam Ash in hell. That's basically what it is.
Yeah. And, like, everyone is trying out equipment. So the moment you walk in, you just hear everybody jamming
everyone at once.
Everyone's playing Stairway to Heaven at once.
Yeah.
And it is just within 5 seconds, I was like, no, I'm going back to the hotel. No.
Saturday was really crowded.
Saturday was the crowdedest. But then, so the convention ends at like 6. Then there's a hotel right next door to the convention center, and everyone just pours in there and drinks the rest of the night in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
So we went one night to the Hilton lobby, and this was already after trying to go to another show. But it was just immensely crowded, like total impossible to get into LA type show. Mm-hmm. I was like, fine, all right. Hilton lobby
show.
It was just this guitar. It was the like Exodus was headlining, I think.
Yeah,
it was just
prong,
like the metal show. To go to, so
meaning the only one going on,
right?
Okay.
Well, I think there were. I don't know.
There were probably other ones, but we weren't aware of them.
So we were at the hotel bar, and Noah, did you enjoy your time there?
I just thought it was really funny because you see like a lot of people, like for example, there were a lot of women dressed in corsets and like mini skirts and stuff. But when you take a closer look, you see a lot of like varicose veins and cellulite, and the women turn around and it's like a lady that's old enough to be my mom.
Yeah.
I don't know. There were a lot of, like, has-beens. Or has-beens.
And never-wases.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of never-wases there. Yeah.
But how do they get tickets to NAMM? I guess they're just lingering in the
You can walk into the lobby. You can just walk in.
That's true. So do you think those people were there just to, like, crash the party and try to meet Rockstar?
I think those people are just, like, L.A. scene partiers, and they're clingers. Yeah.
Wasn't this in Anaheim?
Yeah, but Anaheim is just like half an hour drive away. And it's like, this is like
was
an
Lemmy
event.
There?
Lemmy's not leaving the Rainbow. He has a poker machine
That's
to play.
That's the true
really?
LA he plays scene the, people.
He plays the poker machine?
There's like there's like a poker machine at the bar at the Rainbow.
You ever seen the documentary about Lemmy?
No.
Oh, dude.
He's a poker guy.
You need to see it specifically for one scene that will change the tone of the movie completely from, oh, Lemmy's a fun-loving guy, to, whoa, he has a lot of Nazi memorabilia.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that doesn't shock me very much. I mean, come on. Look at him.
No, he has a lot.
I think I vaguely remember discussing
this. I don't even mean, like, a wall.
It's like
I mean,
most of the stuff in his house.
Every room, every wall in the room, the ceiling, like, just shelves.
Maybe he's just documenting the plight of the Jews. He's, you know.
Well, to be fair, it's very hard for me to grasp Lemmy caring enough to be racist.
Right.
Like, he just doesn't care. But
Nazis
are
cool.
It's just very off-putting how much Nazi memorabilia he has.
What about this? He's a very popular guy. Everybody loves him. What if he once was seen buying one World War II artifact?
Okay.
And everybody's like, oh, Lemmy's into World War II stuff. I'm going to buy him something. And then everyone he knows just started gifting him World War II shit. And he's so polite that he keeps everything.
That was going to be my point. Like, do you have to show it off everywhere in your house?
He wants the people to know that he didn't throw it away.
Are those people ever in his house?
Well, they saw the documentary.
He's like,
it's like, oh, I remember when I bought him that.
I'm worried there may be a documentary in my house.
Could that be it?
I think maybe.
Or maybe he just took it out for a documentary.
I'm going to go with Occam's razor on this one. He just likes Nazi stuff.
Yeah. I don't think his house didn't look like it had much storage space.
Uh-huh.
So there's probably not like closets where he's hiding it at all.
Doesn't he have money? Like, what kind of money do you think he has?
I'm sure he has a lot that he just doesn't spend.
I don't think he has that much money. He's a working musician. He still has to tour.
Mm-hmm.
He drinks a lot.
Yeah, he does spend. There's not a lot of cushion there. I feel.
Yeah,
child support payments. Lots of child support.
He only has one kid, and the kid's an adult. Well, yeah. And the thing is, he just lives in an apartment close to the Rainbow, and he just lived there for so long. It's sort of rent control, he said.
Really.
And all he does is just go to the Rainbow and get drunk, and it's. It's like whenever anybody goes to L.A., it's always funny to see them too. Like, oh, my God, I just saw Lemmy at the Rainbow.
Right.
This is the greatest. It's like, well, and you can, any
but then
anybody
by the
who
end
wants,
of their trip, they're like, the time this week, see Lemmy at the Rainbow.
Yeah, there's Lemmy.
It's sort of sad now.
Yeah, that was my trajectory as well. Just like the first time I went to L.A., like, oh, my God, Lemmy at the Rainbow. How L.A.? This is so L.A. And they're like, oh, God, Lemmy's here.
Oh, he's looking at me. Oh, Jesus, he saw me. Just wave.
I don't think he's
breath smell.
There was actually a scene in the movie where he's talking to Billy Bob Thornton, who comes off like such a douche.
Of course.
And,
why does he come off like a douche?
Well, he's like, I remember my first million, and I got a check for Sling Blade or whatever. I don't remember what he said, but some movie that he did. And then Lemmy's just like, still haven't made mine yet, but great royalty checks for Metallica cover. He's like, I got a great like $150,000 check, and I think he might have said after that like he just went and spent it on speed and Jack Daniels.
Well, that's what I was saying is that he probably made a lot of money in his life, but just spends all every cent of it.
Yeah,
you know?
He's living the life. He's living a Ric Flair lifestyle.
Yeah. Oh, well, listen, God bless him.
That would be an awesome tag team.
Ric Flair and Lemmy.
Why not? I'm sure Lemmy could do all those moves.
Between the two of them, they might take 8 steps to the ring and then pass out.
They would just breathe on the opponent. The opponent would be so intoxicated, they would drop.
Yeah.
Is Ric Flair still alive?
He is still alive. He just came back.
He's actually still on TV.
From the dead? Came back from where?
He just came back from divorcing his fourth wife.
He looks so decrepit.
Yeah. And poor. But a rich guy.
Well, wasn't he doing some petition against, like, he was going to make a court case because he wants to wrestle and they won't let him wrestle or something?
He's suing them for that.
Oh,
that's why he left before, because he thought he could make more money wrestling, and they're like, no, we don't. You're done.
Yeah, they don't want to let him wrestle.
Yeah.
Well, now they're talking about they don't even want to let him do ring stuff. Like, he can only do, like, honorary, standing there, legend type stuff.
Perhaps it's for the
best. But how can he sue about that?
No, yeah, I don't think that's what this...
Well, maybe I got that part wrong.
I think the suit might have been that, like, somebody paid him to appear at their event and wrestle, and he didn't.
Oh, he couldn't?
Well, he just
or he wasn't
no shows a lot.
So
no.
He's being sued or he's
yeah,
sued?
I think he's being
sued.
Okay.
Okay, gotcha. I thought the implication was he was suing someone
no,
for not letting him wrestle.
9 out of 10 times or 99 out of 100, it's someone suing
okay.
Ric Flair. Because the man's not
he probably has
bills.
Like a separate mail slot just for summonses.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is there was an article on Grantlander about all these lawsuits that he had, and then it's like, so this company sued him for this thing, and then like, and this company sued him for not paying for his construction, and then the lawyer who was dealing for all of these things dropped Flair as a client, and then sued him for not paying him legal
like,
fees.
What did you think was going to happen, buddy? It's the Lemmy thing. It's like at first he's like, oh my god, I'm representing Ric Flair. This is great. But then like a month later he's like, this motherfucker's not paying me. Fuck
yeah,
Ric Flair.
It's like being Lemmy at the that's what it's like being Ric Flair
all the time.
Later, yeah.
Being impressed wears off really quick.
But yeah, going back to this party though, that's how we got this.
A lot of people like, who look like Ric Flair at that.
Just
party.
A lot of really like 40s and 50-year-old people. Because I feel like
industry.
I guess I don't know.
Who do
well,
you think works? At
yeah,
I
guess they maybe work at guitar companies.
I don't know, like, there was this moment where I had that thing where, like, your voice comes out of your head and, like, it pulls away from you, like, in the Wonder Years, you know?
You were narrating your
own. Yeah, I was narrating my life, and I was like, wait a minute, is this going to be me? Am I just, like,
keep
not
hanging out with me.
am I ever not going to want to leave, you know, this plane that I'm on? Like, am I going to be balding, wearing a corset and a miniskirt and, like, my
seriously,
dad hanging out?
What is the – I guess in LA it's hotter, so people – like, warmer,
yeah.
Temperature-wise, mm-hmm. Not the people. You're, like, people are wearing just disgusting
well,
clothes.
It's because these people all fell in love with metal in the 80s when it was all hair metal and stuff,
yeah.
And that's their style, and it just
yeah, but they're, like,
stayed.
There's no more hair on the top of their head to tease up, okay?
Yeah.
They're just,
so
like, teasing the hair
yeah.
On the back.
There were also, like, guys there that were, like, you know, from the neck down, it's like, oh, this guy is jacked. But then the face is just like a 60-year-old man,
yeah.
Like balding guy.
Steroids.
And it's just like, wow. Like,
that's,
yeah.
Well, that's L.A. in general. I
yeah.
Think.
But that was very evident in this at this party. And then just...
We left.
Yeah, we left and we got high.
Oh,
so,
that was fun.
So to answer your question, though, am I going to be this person? No, because you're just going to leave and get high.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
You're going to...
Wow, California weed was incredible and also like half the price of what I pay in New York.
Yeah, that's
whew.
Sad.
God, yeah, I almost started crying.
Did you bring any back?
Yes.
No comments, you should say.
Oh, yeah.
No comments.
We'll edit
no,
that
no,
out.
Well, I didn't bring weed back.
Oh, yeah, right.
What'd
you bring back?
Darren, please. I don't want to incriminate myself.
All right. It's just theater. This
she brought back
real...
dabs for her G-Pen.
Yep. Yeah.
They know we do comedy here at the FBI. They don't...
Supplies. They brought back some supplies.
Oh, drug paraphernalia. You're going to be next to Tommy Chong in the lockup.
Yeah, like even prison in California would be fun.
Ah!
What?
Because everyone's stoned.
Wait, you think they'd send you back to California to go to prison?
No.
I think you'd go here.
They're stoned in the prison?
I'm not going to prison. Okay, I already made it out of California and I'm home, so yeah. I'm fine.
Can't take me, coppers.
I think there's extradition between New York and California.
Oh, yeah, you'll be fine.
Same country.
Okay.
They chain you to a palm tree. That's what they do.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Maybe a coconut would fall on me. I have something to drink.
Anyway.
I went to the Dee Snider roast while I was there.
Oh, yeah.
How was that?
That was an experience.
Is he really qualified for a roast? I don't
there's
know.
A lot of jokes you can make about him. He's an easy target.
Yeah. But I'm saying there should be some, like, prestige to the person.
Really? In this day and age, have you seen the last few Comedy Central roasts?
Well,
yeah.
I put those in the same category,
yeah.
Though, you know.
It's very bastardized.
Let's be honest, it's whoever's available.
Okay.
Yeah.
And to
whoever's
be
willing.
The other thing, too, I think why he was a good candidate is because he's done a lot of mainstream stuff.
No.
So he can get some mainstream press for the event, and he can get mainstream, relatively mainstream
he
celebrities.
He did mainstream stuff in like 1984.
No, but he did The Apprentice.
Oh,
like,
wow.
They got Donald Trump to do a pre-tape, and it, I mean, it was terrible.
Oh, Donald Trump was not even there?
Of course not.
Come on.
I'm so important.
In Anaheim.
What about Debbie Gibson? Because they were a team or something
not,
on the show.
Not Debbie Gibson. Lita Ford was...
No. Well,
oh, you
on
mean
the
on
show.
The Apprentice. I never watched The Apprentice, though.
And I believe she goes by Deborah.
Oh, yeah. She's an adult
now.
She's
an adult, yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
Well, the roast is interesting because we did the red carpet and we kind of like...
Who's
like
we?
Me. Oh, and Vince Nielsen from Metal Sucks is helping me out and do camera work.
Oh.
Frank didn't come out. And it was, first of all, it was like the day we flew in, so I was half awake.
Oh.
But then there were all these people on the carpet who was like, what the hell are you doing here?
Ooh,
like
Lorenzo Lamas?
What?
What is Lorenzo
Lamas?
I guess he's friends with Steve Snyder.
He couldn't get in.
He wants free food.
No, yeah, he was waiting for an extra
he
ticket.
He looked so fake in the face, or like his hair. I don't know what's going on. I kind of wanted to, but...
It's a roast. It's like you're licensed to insult anyone who walks by.
Maybe he just lives in the street there.
No,
like,
it,
they rolled the carpet.
I could have totally talked to him, but like he passed me by in the line. Just if you're interviewing somebody, and then the guy behind you sees you're still interviewing him, he'll just like walk past you.
Maybe he was just trying to get someone to interview.
Yeah.
He missed it.
Yeah.
Who
well,
were you talking
oh, well.
To when he walked by that was more important?
Probably
than
like Scotty Inn or something.
more important.
Relatively relevant to metal. Scotty Inn.
Ken Pierce.
Yeah.
Ken Pierce is not on the carpet.
Similar height. Did you say anything mean to Scotty Inn? See anything mean to
No, what Scotty Inn told me though, like I made some sort of Jew joke. Oh, I think I said something along the lines of, you know, like D. Snyder covered a bunch of Broadway show tunes. You ever see Anthrax doing it? Maybe a little Fiddler on the Roof thing. And he didn't like pick up. He's like, I've never seen Fiddler on the Roof.
What?
And I'm like, Scotty Inn, you're a Jew. You're a Jew, Scotty Inn. You have a chief. And he's like, you know what? I'm the worst Jew. People constantly make these Jew jokes at me, but I don't know.
You know that he knew about Fiddler on the Roof.
Scotty Inn, you grew up in Brooklyn in the 70s and 80s, and you don't know Fiddler on the Roof.
You should have whipped out an MP3 player.
It's like, first of all, even if you've never...
Tradition!
Even if you never yourself have seen the movie or the play, I mean, it has to be blasting out of Hasid stereo all over Brooklyn. Yeah, in those station wagons.
They have mono.
Yeah. They have little boy penises hanging out of their
mouths. Oh.
I've been reading so many stories on Gotham. It's about rabbis.
There's another one every day.
Well, that's another great thing.
Is that a great thing?
Well, no. It's great. That maybe is not a
Rob's
great
jealous.
Oh, there's so many good
of the rabbis or the little boys?
I wasn't sure. That's why I didn't finish the sentence.
I'm confused as well. But yeah,
you're confused. What's the number to call for?
646-929-1357. I mean, Josh is going to be joining us later on in the show. Hopefully, if he's listening right now, he might not be.
He's changing his number. He's working on changing his number right now.
So, and then the roast itself was long.
Well, it's a roast.
The comedians that were there were good. They delivered. And it was
Seinfeld?
Like,
was Jerry Seinfeld there?
Yeah, Seinfeld was roasting.
Jim Norton was there, right?
Yeah, Jim Norton was good. Jim Florentine. Penn Jillette was the host.
Okay.
And while he did ramble on forever, there was some good humor in it. But then, like, musicians would come up. Scotty Inn, terrible at delivering jokes. And then the worst was Lita Ford. She was the one person on the dais that was like the train wreck that they invite so that everyone could pick on her.
But how is she a tripod? She was like fairly well adjusted.
Right. She is well adjusted now. She like has kids, whatever. But like people were just totally getting her like talking
about
her.
Were there any other women on the dais?
No, she was the only woman. So like, yeah, she was getting all the like, oh, you're a whore. Like your vagina is wide open.
Was she actually a whore?
I don't think she was.
Hmm.
No, like, she was married.
Yeah.
She was engaged to Tony Iommi married to him for a while. Yeah.
So that's fucked up. Just because she's a woman, she gets horror jokes.
Yeah, like why couldn't they make jokes about something other than her vagina or her being promiscuous?
Or just like how
about her.
Or yeah, like how Joan Jett won't return her phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. How about her being a terrible musician?
But the thing is though, it's a roast. Like that's exactly the point of the roast. You just go for the most
jugular?
Obvious joke, yeah.
Like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, shouldn't it be based on something and then you make fun of that, something that's true about the person?
Well, maybe in the 80s she was a slut. I don't know.
I guess those people know her better than we do.
Yeah. Yeah. But then she came up and it was a combination of, she was first of all getting pissed. She was clearly getting pissed at all the jokes going her way. And then she went up and I don't know if she was on pills, but she was like, she could not read her lines.
Did she have like a piece of paper?
She definitely had a piece of paper. And the other thing is like she would make a joke. She would like do a joke, and it might have like went over well. And she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I love you. I didn't mean that. This is just why am I doing? She's like, "Why am I doing this? Why did I agree to this? This is."
I'm sure everyone was thinking that.
To the point of like she would say a joke at D, and she's like, "Oh, it's okay." And then D was like, "It's all right. It's all right. It's a roast. Go for it. Yeah, come on." Then D. Snyder's son went up and like his first few jokes were about how hot his mom was and how
what?
He has the Oedipus complex and wants to like it's like oof, this is a rough thing to start on.
Awkward. Yeah, man.
But it was fun for me because I was sitting at the G-Pen table.
Oh man, Rob.
Which was exciting.
How'd you get that seat? Did you just like
I was just like right as we were going in, I was introduced to the guy and the owner of GPAD, of Grinko Science, Grinko or whatever. And then he's like, "Where are you guys sitting?" I was like, "Oh, I don't know. We haven't sat down." He's like, "Oh, well, there's plenty of room at our table. Come have a seat." And then there was just boxes of GPAD. And then like they had like four or five GPADs loaded. Like
my goodness.
And I was like, "Which one's the sativa?"
How can they do that in the open like that?
Oh, well, what was funny is like the workers there at the Grove were like, "Is that an e-cigarette or a vaporizer?"
Oh, okay.
And then he was like, "Oh, it's an e-cigarette." But then halfway through the show, they were like, "Guys, that's not an e-cigarette."
There were people, okay, we went to IHOP and like there was a table behind us of like a family, all of them holding G-Pens. And I'm like, no, it can't be that they're smoking weed with that. Like,
you want to explain what a G-Pen is again?
A G-Pen is it's a portable vaporizer.
What does the G stand for?
Audience.
Grenco. Yeah.
The company.
Okay. I call it my Gucci pen.
Okay.
But it's
Grenco. Yeah. Grenco Science is the company.
Yeah. So it's just this really amazing device that you can take and get high wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
You can be inconspicuous.
Yeah.
About
you can
it.
Pack it and then just.
But if anybody catches you with it, Darren gets arrested.
Right. Even if I'm not there.
Yeah. Even
if you're out of state.
All of a sudden, there's a knock at your door. You're like, fuck, Rob is smoking in Kansas.
How is it exactly? Is it inconspicuous? It looks like a cigarette.
It looks like an e-cigarette.
It looks like a pen. It doesn't even look like a cigarette.
So yeah, it's very inconspicuous to be walking around puffing
yeah,
like,
this
sucking
is
a pen.
This is it.
And there's also a smaller version
well, it just
called
looks
a micro.
Like, yeah, it looks like an e-cigarette. So and no one really knows what it is.
Yeah, no one's really caught on to what
eventually
this is.
It's very, very new. So like nobody really knows what it is. So you can just smoke anywhere. Like I was when I went to see Django, which is 2.5 hours.
Uh-huh.
An hour into it, I just started taking hits in the theater, and nobody.
Did you say Django?
Django.
I thought
Django Unchained.
Jenga.
I was going to say that he was playing a party game. Fucking,
yeah. Oh. Jenga.
Yeah, he started.
Jenga and Chain. Jenga and Chain, the new Quentin Tarantino board game.
Did they buy a live read?
Did you see they had Django dolls that got recalled because like black people made us think about it? Because they had Django like action figures and there were slave action figures with fucking chains on them and shit that kids were playing with.
What kids? How are kids getting
kids
their hands
could, kids could play.
I mean, it's not going to be in a Toys R Us. It's going to be like a comic book store.
Yeah.
What?
But
who's going to carry that like that? But I guess
you go as long as they're not selling plantation owners with it, then
I'm sure there was.
Then they can't like you know play with them together, make up their own.
Get the plantation set. Legos.
Like the Ice Planet of Hoth.
And you get a bag of plantation set too.
That's something different.
You could trans. You could switch up your old G.I. Joe aircraft carrier to be a slave ship.
Oh.
You could bring the little action figures over to America. Start right from the beginning.
If you squeeze Samuel Jackson, he goes, "Old Man River." He stole that movie, by the way.
He was
way.
Really
he
good. Was Everybody good. In that movie was great. I love that movie.
Great movie.
Because you're racist.
Sure.
This is an anti-racist movie.
Yeah.
Bob. Come on.
No, totally. I kept reading online like those awkward the Django moment when like a white person laughs at an inappropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
That never like I didn't have any inappropriate white laughter.
All the laughter is the only thing to laugh at in that movie is at white people being assholes.
Yeah. Well, I think it was like when somebody says something incredibly racist and people laugh at it.
Well, then you're a racist.
Yeah.
Or it just when you're uncomfortable, you laugh.
Or yeah, but, like, it's just so racist that it's funny.
Or like, yeah, that's. I mean, I'm joking about it being. I feel like racial humor can be funny. It's like you know, it's intended to be a joke. You know, joke can be tasteless funny at the same time. Doesn't mean you support what's actually being said.
And speaking of funny things in that movie, that scene with the Klansmen having trouble with their masks is one of the funniest scenes in any movie Tarantino or otherwise ever made. That was genius. Oh, that was such a good fucking movie. It won't win Best Picture, but goddamn, I think it should.
Just for that. So, just that scene should win Best Picture.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Argo was really good, too, but Django Unchained was fantastic.
I didn't see Argo.
Very good movie.
Did you see Zero Dark Thirty?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
After having seen Homeland, it's like it's Homeland, thing, but it, instead of Nazir, it's
Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a redheaded, pale young woman who works for the CIA.
And is crazy.
Chasing a terrorist. Yeah, it's like, I'm ruined for this. And it was really long and quiet. And
It took forever to get to that.
Yeah,
point.
When they finally get to that, it's very powerful, even though you know what's going to happen. Just like that's with Argo, except Argo... You know, both of them, you're on the edge of your seat, even though you know what the outcome is. But with Argo, the whole movie is really interesting.
They should have made it like Inglourious Basterds, where they just shoot Hitler in a theater at the end.
Yeah.
Just change the ending. You know?
Yeah, that would have been interesting if they did that.
Just have Bin Laden with a machine gun. Fuck you, motherfucker!
And the red-headed lady is breathing a sigh of relief. Bin Laden is getting in her throat. I'm coming for you next, America.
Oh, man.
That would have been cool.
Coming in 2014, Zero Dark 31.
Osama Unchained.
Like Ocean's 14.
We have a fan from Morocco in the chat.
Yeah, his name is Don.
His name is Ali Salam.
He's waiting to talk to Jamie Yasta.
Or Ali Salam. I can't tell if it's Ali Salam or Ali Salam.
I'm going to go with Ali Salam.
Ali Salam?
Yes, sure.
Salam.
Talk to the U.S.
Jamie's going to be calling in about half an hour. Jamie Joseph, Hatebreed, of course.
Oh, we have hails from India.
Oh, cool. We're international.
Or at least Hatebreed is.
Yeah, it's not for us.
Oh, well then. Well then. What else? What else is going on this week? That I think I have some bookmarks that we can get to. The Royal Rumble was this past Sunday, and The Rock came back for his first match in like a year, and he beat CM Punk, who was a bad guy, but like as a fan of wrestling, yeah, you like him. So there was a huge uproar on the internet about how like people were really upset that The Rock won, and there was this one video in particular of an adult male
with a girlfriend.
With a girlfriend. The girlfriend's shooting this video of this adult male watching The Rock win and then completely losing his shit.
Really?
Legitimately. Yeah. Okay, I'm playing the video now. Now The Rock is going for the pin.
That's two now.
Why is the volume so bad?
Does he know it's fake, this guy?
Yeah. So now The Rock has won. The guy is in shock. He has a world title belt around his shoulder. And he, like, you can tell he's pissed.
So he just waves in the people's elbow.
He throws the belt on the floor. His girlfriend is confused.
Wow.
He locks himself in a room.
Now, get the fuck out. Get out.
Look, he's so mean.
Wow.
Get out. Don't fucking film in here.
Why is she filming it?
Bridget, please get out.
Because this is hilarious.
Bridget, this is very important.
You're laughing at me and I'm getting pissed the fuck off about it.
He knocked over a bunch of Blu-rays.
Who's that? Who's The Rock at in this fucking thing?
He has a DVD with The Rock.
That's what I think about you, Rock.
He rips the DVD that he purchased of The Rock.
What about you, Rocky? Get out! Seriously, please!
Wow.
400 days, thrown away for the fucking... so we can promote another fucking movie until WrestleMania!
He lost himself in it. And his girlfriend, being a great girlfriend, unlocks it. Oh, you can hear him groan?
Yeah.
And there's a part two, I think.
Ah.
I say it's fake.
It could be. Yeah, it seems a little staged.
Why? I mean, like, why were they filming the end of Royal Rumble?
Because
right.
People do that. People do, like, reaction videos, like, for ends of sporting events and stuff. You see it all over.
It's not a thing I've seen.
ESPN does lame montages of it from time to time. It's, yeah. Mm. Everything needs to be documented now for some reason.
Because you can.
Says the guy who does a weekly podcast about his daily experience.
But the thing is that
there was another video and it got deleted. That's very sad.
No, like, we actually have people that listen and download the show. It's not like we're randomly just doing it. You know, these people just put shit on YouTube.
But then it gets views and it gets put on ESPN.
Because it's so stupid, though. Well, that's kind of the same thing as us, too. Actually, you made a good point.
Yeah, where's a Rock Blu-ray for me to break in half?
Yeah, let's do something that will get us on ESPN.
I've never understood that type of rage where you're going to break your own things. Like, how are you so angry that you're going to break something that you purchased?
Well, Rob, you're a very, I would say you're a very level-headed person.
What?
Almost to a fault. Like, you don't even get mad when you have a right to get mad.
I'm very angry about that statement, Darren.
I think,
but I forgive you.
He's too stoned to get all riled up.
You're like, it's a good thing. It's just, I'm saying, like, you can't put yourself in that place of being so enraged that you want to fucking punch something.
Well, because we're adults, and you realize, all right, he lost because his boss told him he's going to lose this.
I agree.
He got paid what he was going to get paid.
Yeah.
He still has a job. This doesn't actually
mean anything.
How does
this really affect you
at all?
He's still the centerpiece of the show, really. He walked out the next day and, like, had
Also, me getting pissed off about the outcome is exactly what Vince McMahon wants. So if I'm so mad at Vince McMahon, why would I totally into his hands?
Well,
like
that I don't know. I think what they want you to do is be really happy. The Rock.
Well, they want a reaction.
The champion.
I think they just want a reaction. So if you're giving them a reaction, then they win.
I honestly think they're so out of touch that they can't. I don't know if we want to get into a deep wrestling thing on here, but like they can't figure out why John Cena isn't popular, and they can't figure out why CM Punk and other indie guys are popular, and it frustrates the
shit out of them. How is it any different from the Attitude Era, though? They're popular because they're anti-heroes.
Right, but
that's what it's been for, like, the last, 15, 20 years.
But when they were doing the Attitude Era, that's what they were intending to do. Like, they wanted Austin to be an anti-hero.
So he didn't think it was about attitude. He thought it was just, okay, they're doing what we want, and they will continue to always do what we want, even if we change our taste.
That's what it seems like, because now that they're doing this, the PG shit, they want the entire audience to be like 8-year-olds and just love John Cena. I've read quotes from them where they're like, they're very unhappy that the crowd booed John Cena or this or something, you know, shit like that, like the higher-ups, you know?
Well, you got to figure it's going to take some time if you want. Like, because the people booing John Cena are the ones that grew up with the Attitude Era.
Right.
Now there's going to be a bunch of people who grew up loving John Cena, and then when they get to be adults, they'll be into that kind of heroes.
Yeah, but I don't know. Listen.
Different generations.
I think they're very out of touch, and I really think they want the entire crowd just to be behind The Rock. And they can't figure out guys like this.
No, I think they know that there will be people that aren't behind The Rock, and like that are just going to be for CM Punk. And they're fine with them not liking, because I feel like though they think, rightfully so, that those people, no matter what, will still come back.
Right.
And also,
I agree with that.
If there's a mixed reaction to every wrestler, that means just as many people buy this guy's shirts as that guy's shirts.
Mm-hmm. Well,
in the 80s, no one was going to buy an Iron Sheik shirt. He was universally hated.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, as many people would buy his shirt as would buy Hulk Hogan's shirt, so that's more merch.
Fuck the Hulk Hogan!
Fuck the tomorrow! Fuck the for today!
Iron Sheik got some publicity on the TNT NBA halftime show a week ago.
Oh,
he was like
tweeting
at Shaq and all of them.
I vaguely remember.
And they were talking about his Twitter.
What did he say?
Just
exactly.
Different stuff. Oh,
Shaq is the grasshopper dick.
I think he liked Kenny Smith,
but
then he, or maybe Charles Barkley, but then was shitting on the rest of them.
Kenny Smith is from Minnesota. He's good.
He's from Brooklyn.
He's the rare.
And then somebody else the other day was talking about, like, Iron Sheik's getting a lot of mainstream publicity recently.
Really?
It's very weird.
I'm the rare. He's the rare. Fuck the Ted DiBiase. What else is he getting? Good Morning America?
Bill Simmons, I think, on his podcast was talking about it, and then they mentioned the YouTube clip where he's given Hogan the camel clutch and has a boner.
How have they just latched onto this? This is like 4 years ago already.
I don't know. I guess it takes
a slow
time.
Burn. Yeah.
There's a really funny Iron Sheik. Like, he's been tweeting about Chris Brown.
Oh, boy.
I don't want to do it.
What does it
say? I feel like Darren has to say it.
You can do it. Let's hear your Sheik impression.
No. The Chris Brown more ugly than my shish kebab shit.
That was good. That's a good impression.
That is great.
We haven't read his.
I have been loving the Iron Sheik Twitter feed over the last couple of weeks.
Rob claims that he actually writes those.
There's no way. No, I think if anything, his manager asks him, what do you think of Chris Brown? And then he'll say that.
he'll just transcribe
it.
RG3.
At most.
Go to Hall of Fame for the most sex with the white girls.
Yeah, well, he's married to one, so yeah.
Dear the TMZ. Please let everybody know who's the legend is and that the Chris Brown no good motherfucker. I wish for Super Bowl halftime show I can beat the fuck out of Manti Te'o and his dead girlfriend. I'd be happy if all of the people in Utah fuck the Chris Brown mother.
In Utah.
His mother? What did his mother do wrong?
She gave birth to him.
Yeah, man, she didn't know that he was going
to
be.
Can you go down to the one he does about Groundhog Day and Chris,
I see it.
Chris Brown?
For the Groundhog. Oh, that's not.
No, I wish every day.
Where is it?
It's right below the one you started reading.
Really? Oh, I see it. I hope for the Groundhog Day.
No, the one after that or before that.
Oh, for the Groundhog Day. No, that's
no,
the same one I was reading.
I wish every day was the Groundhog
Day. I wish every day was the Groundhog Day. Only for the Chris Brown while the 50 dead dogs beat the fuck out of him. Till he dug shit forever. Who's Rafi Torres?
UFC, maybe?
I am the law of the Twitter. More than that, no good piece of shit. The Rafi Torres, he dug shit. And if I see him, I break his neck.
Maybe people just latch on when he references somebody who they know, just because he's referencing Charles Barkley. Yeah. And like, what is this random guy talking? Like, I feel like people know.
But he doesn't even use hashtags.
Yeah.
He doesn't use hashtags at all.
He'll tag them. He would tag.
He didn't tag Rafi Torres or Dwight Howard.
What did he say about Dwight Howard?
He said, Lakers always be the real. But the Dwight Howard always be the pussy no good motherfucker.
Yeah, fair enough. Can't argue with that.
I agree. Well said. I like him.
Here's a good one. For Valentine's Day, did Dan Marino go fuck a dolphin in the ass and have a fish dog shit, baby?
And everyone will agree to keep it under wraps and everyone will be happy.
Were you a fish dog shit, baby?
Baby.
Well, he's saying Dan Marino's dog shit and the dolphin is the fish part. That's what it is.
Fuck to tomorrow!
Now the only girl that fucked the Dan Marino going to be a dolphin.
Oh.
I like how he picks all these random animals.
He needs to parlay this Twitter fame into like a TV show or
like
a web
comedy. Yeah, just like.
But then we can't do it on our
show. Iron Sheik reacts
to
the news. Shit, Iron Sheik says that should be.
It should be like there's no Daily Show or Colbert on Friday nights, mm-hmm. So Comedy Central should give him a half hour show to just summarize the week in pop culture and news.
Mm.
Or he could be a panelist on Best Week Ever that's back now.
Why can't he be on our show?
Should, yeah.
He should do a five-minute spot every week on our show.
Rob.
Reach out.
I'm holding the sheik back. You're right. I have not tried at all to get
use
the
your Iranian connection.
Speaking of wrestling, I saw that Howard Finkel, you know, he does the wedding thing.
Yeah.
There's a newer wedding video of him.
Oh, wow.
And it's the worst video. It's like the first one was great because he comes out. Howard Finkel is the old ring announcer from the 80s, from the WWF, and through the 90s, I guess. And he's just known for doing great introductions. He's a real pro. He's got a great voice and all that. And now he's retired, but he goes and does weddings. Like, you can pay him $6,000 or whatever, and he does your wedding. The father of the bride, you know.
$6,000?
I don't know. I'm picking
whatever
a number.
It is.
That's
yeah.
what I, okay. I assume it's around there.
Okay.
At my wedding, Rob announced us for free.
True.
I want Howard Finkel to do my wedding.
Oh.
Well, Darren has an announcement to me.
No. Oh. It was more of a generic statement. Oh. Not that I'm saying no either.
Oh.
Your groom. A new wedding engagee. Well, here's the thing. So the first video we found of him doing that, it was great because he does the announcements. The people walk out with wrestling music. They walk out. They do a little pirouette, and they go to their spot, and that's it. This one, he goes, he'll say the same thing. The Fuller of the Boy. They all came out and did, like, wrestling poses. This one guy came out dressed like Hulk Hogan with a beard. Like, they're upstaging the thing. Oh. And then this guy comes out with an NWO shirt, two of them, and it's, like, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. And they take the mic away from him, and they push him away.
Oh.
Like, it's a wrestling. I don't even know if he was on board with it. He's a pro. He's the pro of pros. He goes, like, what's going on here? He makes that face, you know, like a ring announcer.
Wow. As you were telling that story, I'm just imagining them brainstorming this.
Like, oh, my God, you're going to come out as Hulk Hogan, and then the music later will do that, and we'll push the thing. This is going to be the best wedding
so
ever.
So bad. And then the wife is just in the corner like, what am I getting myself into?
Yeah,
right.
Really. And then she made a YouTube clip of her husband reacting to CM Punk losing.
So he goes on and on. Like, he starts doing the survey. He goes, hey, yo. Ugh. He does that for, like, it goes on so long. And the people in the wedding hall are not reacting to it.
It's like any
all.
Best man speech.
Yeah, yeah. But horrible. But, oh, my God, it dragged on. And he's doing the Razor Ramon accent badly. I feel like it's too bad to even play. It'll put our audience to sleep.
Okay.
But, oh.
We'll just take your word for it.
Here's the best part, though. The punchline is that he finally stops, right? The Fink goes back on, and the guy starts interrupting the Fink from the side. He's like, NWO! Like,
he's heckling the Fink.
He's heckling the Fink, and the Fink's just like, you see at first he's playing into it, and
so
then
this
he's
was
like,
someone's wedding? Like, did they know about it, or they were a part of this charade?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about all the NWO crap, but I mean.
Well, alcohol, when alcohol is involved, I guess.
You hire the Fink, and he does your wedding. I think it's really cool.
Cool.
You have to, like, fly him out, or does he only do it for a certain area of the country?
I don't know. We should inquire. We should get him on. Let's interview him.
Come on, Rob. He could promote his service.
Him and the Iron Sheik at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Although Fiddle said Razor Ramon did the Razor Ramon accent badly. That's true.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But this was worse.
All right. We're going to get to a Darren curated music break.
This was by request of our fans, by the way. This was the Weird Al playlist that they
had. Now, how did you pick this list?
I picked the list by songs that I really like that are more obscure than the faint. Like, I didn't put any Eat It on there or anything. These are songs that you may not be as familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Some parodies and some original songs.
Okay, before I just want to read one last Iron Sheik tweet. Dan Marino dick have defense. The only thing he fuck now is dumb, no good taco shit because he don't respect the lady. I respect him.
That was all 140 characters?
Yeah.
I thought you were going for the N-word there. I thought it was an N-word in his
name. No.
He's no good. Not the N-word.
All right, here's Weird Al with Pretty Fly for a Rabbi.
Baron Solfundira Blinza.
How you doing, Bernie?
Oi, Z! Oi, Z!
How you doing, Bernie?
Oi, Z! Oi, Z!
How you doing, Bernie?
Oi, Z! Oi, Z!
All the goyim say I'm pretty fly for a rabbi.
Hey, won't be retail price. He never asks for sugar and he's hardly a meal. But if you want to haggle, oil, make you such a deal. People use the scum, now they say mobile stuff. He's such a mocker because he works at Coca Ball. Yeah, he keeps his cool and teaches you. What's not to like, what's not to like. But I only did, you know, he breathes his breath. And he never eats the scummy on my bread with mayonnaise. Put on your yarmulke and hey, hey, do the Hebrew thing. When he's doing a bar mitzvah, now that you shouldn't miss, he'll always schlep on down for a wedding or a bris. They say he's got a lot of chutzpah, he's really quite hip. The parents pay the moil and he gets to keep the tip.
Hello, son. This is your resident announcer guy, Chuck Blandington, and you're listening to the show that was caught finger-banging your stepmom last week. The Metal Injection Live Cast. Sorry about that.
With you. Yes, I'd rather jump naked on a huge pile.
You're listening to the show that told you your mother was dying of cancer. What? We didn't tell you that yet. Oops. It's the Metal Injection Live Cast.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation.
Landington. You're listening to the Metal Injection Live Cast with Rob Sid, Sean Oa, and 3D. I have a secret. Don't tell anyone, but I took a big robotic dump on all of their chairs during the music break. And now, here's the show.
We're back with hour number two. We're going to have Jamie Ajasta on the line with us momentarily. And this is a great time to remind you that the Metal Injection Live Cast is brought to you by The Divinity of Purpose, the new album from Hatebreed, which is out now. Features the tracks Put It to the Torch and Put It to the Torch, Honor Never Dies, and Our Own and Own Your World. You can order the album now on iTunes.
Try that again, Rob.
I'll try it again. Today's live cast is brought to you by The Divinity of Purpose. It's the new studio album from Hatebreed, and it features the songs Put It to the Torch, Honor Never Dies, and Own Your World. Download it now on iTunes.
Very good. And what's the address for iTunes? I've never heard of that.
iTunes is www.itunes.com.
Thank you.
And how do I, where do I enter that?
You enter that in your web browser. The Metal Injection Livecast recommends Google Chrome. Download that at google.com/Chrome.
Do I hit enter after that?
But how do I download a browser if I don't have a browser?
You'd have to use IE, Sid.
Oh, no.
Yeah. IE stands for Internet Explorer.
Version 2.0 still. Is that okay?
Click the big blue E on your desktop, and that'll access the internet.
I thought that was for email.
No, no. Well, you can access your. It gets confusing. You can access your email through that.
Right now, we're reenacting every conversation I have with my mom. Every single fucking one.
Okay, we have we actually have Jamie Ajasta on the line because the man is prompt. Jamie, are you there?
I'm here. I'm prompt.
Thank you for calling into the Metal Injection Livecast. Your album, The Divinity of Purpose, has been out for a week. Is it a relief to finally have it out?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, we did it last January, February, so I'm just glad it finally all came together. And, you know, the artwork itself took, like, over a month because it's a painting. And, you know, a lot went into it, and the label wanted to really, like, set it up right. So we waited till January to put it out, and I think that was probably the best idea. It was just to wait, just to not try to rush it out.
So you're saying this album's been done for a year already?
Well, not a total year, but yeah, like, it's been done for a while. I'm actually surprised that it didn't leak sooner, because I think Supremacy and Rise of Brutality and Perseverance all leaked like 3 months before, pretty much ruining our chart position. So this one only leaked about a week out, so... You know, maybe we'll have our highest chart position. That would be nice.
Yeah, labels are getting pretty strict with their promo copies, and I think the leaking thing is getting under control.
How early did you get a promo copy, Rob?
7 months ago.
Oh, wow.
I got a copy in like November, actually. A promo copy in November. Not to brag.
So then it wasn't you.
No.
That leaked it.
Oh, absolutely not. That is unethical. This is a...
Well, I mean, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. But it's like, you know, you just... I think with the past records, like, especially on Supremacy, it was a major bummer because we were on main stage Ozfest, and we probably could, you know, did like 50 or 60,000 records first week, and we ended up doing about half that.
Oh, wow.
Because everybody had the record 2 months before. And then, you know, on the last self-titled album, we didn't send out any promos, and that hurt us because then we didn't get in any magazine covers and we didn't really get a lot of reviews. And so it's a double-edged sword where, you know, you want the promotion and you want all the, you know, magazine features and radio play and stuff, but we don't even really get a lot of radio play. We get like the Saturday night show at 2 a.m. or whatever, or we get Sirius XM, which is awesome. But, you know, everybody does it differently. And I think this time around, it was nice that nobody was, you know, malicious trying to ruin our first week, trying to leak the record. So that was cool.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know, but the first week of a record is basically the most important, because that's what the basis of like what kind of tour promotion you get, or just like any sort of time any company wants to work with you, they're just going to look at your first week. They're not going to look at your overall.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's, people go, well, it's going to happen anyways, and it's out there, and it's free, and yeah, I understand that, you know, and I can't knock anybody who wants something for free. You know, free is always better, but it definitely comes at a price to the artist. So, you know, if Metallica, if their management sees that Hatebreed does, you know, a huge first week this week, we have much more, you know, chance at getting an offer for Orion Fest than we do if everybody just stole the record online. And that's the truth. If they come out and they see we do, you know, a top 20 release, they're going to go, oh, we need this band on Orion Fest. But if we do numbers like we did on the last album, you know, they're going to go, oh, let's just get, you know, Avenged Sevenfold instead, or whoever, you know, a bigger band.
Right.
Even though we could easily, you know, do the same numbers as Avenged or one of these bands if people just bought the record, you know.
Right. Avenged Sevenfold, their fans don't know how to download music, apparently. Is that what
you're... their fans are just, you know, super, super dedicated to them. And, you know, bands, the bands like that have been on a good ride with rock radio and a lot of press, you know, like them and Black Veil Brides and, you know, the bands that are played on rock radio, Five Finger Death Punch, you know, those types of bands, All That Remains, they have a leg up on all the underground artists because their songs are constantly played on the radio, and people that listen to the radio are just more likely to buy the record just because they're hearing it and they're going, you know, let me go out and check this out. Whereas, you know, a lot of underground artists rely on the internet, and you just rely on, I guess, what you would call the honor system, you know, which is, oh, if you like the record, then you go buy it out of, you know, wanting to support the artist because you like the record. So we're basically relying on the honor system. It's like if a guy, you know, at a small store puts out a pot of coffee and leaves a cup and says, hey, leave a dollar if you like the coffee.
Right. I want to remind everyone that you can call in and talk to Jamie Joss. The number to dial is 646-929-1357. We have Todd in Arkansas on the line. Todd, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
What's going on, Todd?
Hey, first off, Jamie, I'll let you know, man, that the new album Crank, and I bought 2 copies.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate that,
hey,
man.
No worries, man. Hey, check it out. My question is, dude, I've been a Hatebreed fan and hardcore music fan for a really long time. All my buddies that are and stuff like that to talk is they would love to see Hatebreed, Biohazard, Suicidal team up for a real kick-ass tour. What's the odds of something like that coming together?
In the States, I would say there's like probably no chance of that happening just because the promoters, it's really up to the promoters, and what happens is you try to get these tours together, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes with the promoters and the venues, and a lot of places don't want to book an all hardcore show, especially an older hardcore show where you're going to have 35, 40, 45 year old guys smashing little girls and kids and stuff. So, you know, they're already afraid to book us in a lot of spots. And this is, you know, this is something that Suicidal dealt with many, many years ago, long before Hatebreed was even playing out. You know, they were banned from a lot of venues, and promoters really can't risk their livelihood with, you know, having a guy dive off the stage and land on a 13-year-old girl and break her neck, or having, you know, 10 people jump one, you know, like 90-pound kid and hospitalize him. I mean, that's just what happens at these types of shows. I mean, we did Denver not too long ago, and there was like something, the promoter said there was like 60 fights or something. And so,
wow.
But, you know, we're on this tour now with Shadows Fall and Dying Fetus, and I think we've only had one fight the whole tour. So the promoters are super happy with this bill, and we've had more attendance. We've had a better attendance on this tour. We've already had two sold-out shows. We had over 1,000 people on a Monday night in Nebraska. So it's gotten to the point where I think those days of me, you know, really, really fighting tooth and nail to have it be a more old school bill, I think those days are probably gone. You know, like we did all those tours where, I mean, we did so many tours with Hatebreed and Biohazard and Agnostic Front. And, you know, we did so many tours like that in Perseverance, Rise, Brutality, and Supremacy. But, you know, we can't really, there's a lot of cities we can't play, a lot of venues that don't want to book a show like that. And it's really not up to us anymore, unfortunately. So I just urge everybody that's listening, if you go to a show, keep the peace. And, you know, hopefully it'll change, but I just doubt it.
What do you think it is about Hatebreed's music that just gets people so aggro, so ready to fight? Or just hardcore in general?
I don't think it's the music. I just think that when you get a bunch of maniacs into one, you know, venue, and there's a lot of booze and beer flowing, it's just inevitable that something crazy is going to happen. I mean, at that Denver show, and believe me, the show was packed. I love playing Denver. I'm not going to be a hypocrite and go, you know, and act like I never, you know, fought at a show. And that's what happens at a hardcore and metal show. But I mean, there was people bleeding outside the show before the doors even opened. And during the first band, These Nuts and Whitechapel and All Shall Perish, there was a ton of fights. It's not necessarily our music. It's just, you know, it's just a crazy world that we live in, and it's a violent scene. It always has been. It just hurts future opportunities for all the bands, not just Hatebreed. It is what it is. I mean, we just did a huge tour with Lamb of God and In Flames, and everybody was complaining about the bill, and I was surprised that, you know, a lot of more kind of, you know, punk rock hardcore people were complaining about the bill, because the shows were packed, a lot of them were sold out, and there was no fights on the entire tour. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's what the promoters want. And, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to not tour? No, we got to go out and support the record. And, you know, we can't say no to a tour like that. It's a huge opportunity for the band, just because, you know, hardcore and punk rock elitists, you know, want to complain. We can't stop, you know, doing what we do. We got to tour.
Well, that brings up a good point. You know, you said you were touring with Lamb of God, and of course there's that whole Czech Republic.
Yeah, that's why nobody's starting fights at Lamb of God shows anymore. There's fucking consequences.
Well, what I was going to ask is, have you altered your show in any way, or like tried to just say that, you know, no stage diving or anything in light of all that's come out from that trial?
I got to be really careful, like, what I say here. So let me just think this out. This is what I got to say about this. We, long before Lamb of God was even a band, we had people, I don't want to say was even a band, you know, because they were doing Burn the Priest and stuff. But when Hatebreed exploded and when the Microscope was on hardcore, when I Will Be Heard video was out and everybody was dissing the dancing in the video. It was a very polarizing video, because that record exploded, Perseverance exploded. We were already a very big band on the first record, and we had already dealt with all sorts of violence at shows and people breaking their necks, breaking their legs. We had a guy get their ear ripped off. We got banned from Pearl Street in Northampton. We got banned from pretty much all the clubs in Boston. We got banned from the 930 Club in D.C. But we didn't publicize it. We just tried to go below the radar. But it really hurt the bands. You know, not being able to play Boston, it sucks. I mean, there was a time where on Perseverance, we sold out the Avalon, 3,000 kids with Sick of It All and Biohazard opening for us. And outside of the show, after the show, someone got beaten within an inch of their life, and we got put on some police list, and we've never been allowed back to play Lansdowne Street since. And this is 2003, okay? So luckily, nobody died. I mean, you know, when somebody, nobody should ever go to a show and fear death. I mean, that's fucking retarded. That's horrible. There's no reason for that. So what happened to this kid in the Czech Republic was fucking horrible. If my kid got killed at a show, I would lose my mind. I would be out there fucking killing people. So, you know, but Randy didn't do anything. Randy's innocent. And, you know, for Hatebreed, we've had one show on this tour where there was no barricade in Grand Junction, Colorado, and we just, you know, there's a couple stage dives. And listen, if you're a 300, 400-pound guy, maybe you just shouldn't stage dive. I don't know. That's not my choice because I'm not you and I'm not in your body and I don't make your decision. But, yeah, there was a couple stage dives. There was a couple girls I got dove on, whatever. You know, then. But what happens is this causes a huge argument because then the 300-pound guy goes, fuck you, if you're a 90-pound girl, don't stand in front of the fucking stage. So then you got this whole shitstorm happening, which I just don't really want to be involved in.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of clubs that not only do they not want to book Hatebreed, but they just don't want to, you know, they don't want to have the liability. So they just put up a barricade if they do. And all I do is I say at the show, just keep the peace. You know, whatever you're doing, however you're behaving on a show, just keep the peace. And obviously our tour manager has a very in-depth, you know, security meeting beforehand. And we've been really lucky on this tour. Security's super cool, saving kids from breaking their neck when they come over the barricade, giving the kids a pat on the back. The kids have been really cool on this tour as far as respecting the security. You know, sometimes you'll see guys come over the barricade and they're, like, punching people on the way over and stuff, and then they act like, you know, they act like, why am I getting thrown out? Well, you're punching people on the way over the barricade and then you're swinging at security. What do you want me to do? You know what I mean? Like, I don't make your decisions. I'm a fucking grown man trying to tour and fucking be in a band, you know?
Yeah, and I see that you guys are actually playing the Czech Republic on the Brutal Assault Festival.
We already did. We already just played, too. We played the Czech Republic since all this has happened. Hmm. And, you know, you can't blame a whole country. This is another funny thing that you see on Twitter and Facebook. Boycott the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, all right, yeah. Let's boycott Miami, too, while we're at it, because we don't want to get our faces, you know, eaten off by, what was the guy? He, like, ate the guy's face in Miami. So there you go. Yeah, let's do that, too. Like, whatever you want to say about the Czech Republic, that's your issue. That's your problem. Has nothing to do with us. Has nothing to do with the fans in the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
And, you know, Randy will probably be the first one to tell you that, too.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you actually mentioned that, because I definitely see that a lot. Anytime I post any updates on it, it's like, why are you blaming? Like, what does the country itself have to do with it? It's just...
Yeah, the metal scene in the Czech Republic did not put him in jail.
Yeah.
The cops did.
And yeah, it's one isolated, fucked up, terrible situation of injustice. And just like, you know, this shit happens all over the world in other, you know, places where fucked up shit happens. And I'm not talking about a concert. I'm just talking about in general. Fucked up shit happens. It's not representative of an entire fucking country or people.
Yeah. Well, you're in Reno right now, right? You're on tour with Shadows Fall, Dying Fetus, and The Contortionist.
Yes, sir.
Will you be having time to watch the Super Bowl tonight, or are you going to be performing while it's on? Are you a football fan?
Well, actually, it's on West Coast time, so the Super Bowl will be done. And then we're urging people to come out to the show. It's, you know, it's never good to play on Super Bowl Sunday. When I was a promoter and booking shows, that was the worst when, you know, an agent was like, you got to book this band on a Sunday, on Super Bowl Sunday. But we got, you know, we got a couple hundred pre-filled, and I think it'll be okay. And I don't know if we're going to – a couple of the guys went off to one of the casinos to watch it. I think it starts at 3 o'clock out here, or 3:18 out here, 6:18 on the East Coast. But I'm downstairs now in the dressing room, and we got a TV down here and a satellite, and it's saying no satellite signal, so I probably won't watch it.
Because you're committed to the show. You gotta make sure everything goes right for the Hatebreed show. Or just...
Well, actually, there's where are we? We're right by. I'm gonna try to go hit the roulette table. Last time we were here, we were with All That Remains and Five Finger Death Punch, and Phil Labonte was killing it on blackjack. And I don't know. I'm not really a blackjack player. I like roulette, so I'm probably gonna hit the spot that he was at, and maybe try my hand at blackjack a little bit. And then if anybody wants to call in right now, give me some lucky numbers for roulette, I'll play those numbers. So
6-9-2-9-1-3-5-7.
There are some numbers right there. You
yeah.
just said.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Bet on all of those.
Cool. Well, Jamie, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for taking some time to hang out with us and talk about your new record, The Divinity of Purpose, out now on iTunes and fine record stores everywhere.
Yeah, today's the last day. If people want to go out and get the record, today's the last day to impact the first week. And, you know, we got some stiff competition with the Destiny's Child Greatest Hits.
Uh-oh.
That they got out, you know, right in time for Beyonce to perform at the Super Bowl. And the Justin Bieber acoustic record. So, you know, it's going to be tough. But, hey, if you've already gotten the record, a lot of people have Twittered me, you know, pictures and Instagram pictures of them buying the CD and the bonus shirt and stuff. And that's awesome. Like, I'm really appreciative. I'm grateful for everybody going out to buy it, because I know how easy it is just to just go get it on a blog or whatever. And, you know, the fact that people still support us almost 20 years into our careers is really, it gets me out of bed every day. I'm really happy that, you know, this record came out so good. We're proud of the record, and we definitely feel like it's worth your, you know, $9 or $10. Thank you to you guys for reporting on hardcore and metal and all this crazy shit that we do. You know, thank you for having me on, and I hope I can yell at people and
good.
Do it for another 20 years.
Thank you, Jamie, for doing it for 20 years, and hope you have a good show tonight. Hope you give them all.
Do you still have the jacket? Is what I want to know.
Of course, I have them all. I have them all framed.
He's wearing it right now.
Yeah.
Anytime I do an interview, I wear the jacket.
Yeah. See, I probably won't see you this May because we'll be in the UK during the Golden Gods. But, that's another thing I got to plug. We are nominated for Best Live Band for the Revolver Golden Gods. So we'll take your sympathy votes. So get on there.
There you go. And, you know, if this whole hardcore thing doesn't work out, I think you do great in politics.
Please, no. I think I'd do better just having like a hot dog cart.
That could work as well. All right, Jamie.
You can't download a hot dog. So.
Oh, that's good marketing. All right.
Or a good album title at the very least.
You can't download a hot dog.
A hate dog. You just come to get a hate dog.
Great. I love it. All right. Awesome, Jamie Johnston. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Later.
Thank you.
See ya.
All right, let's play one track off the new Hatebreed album. Here's the opening track and the lead single. Just Put It to the Torch.
Maybe I'm sorry.
back. It doesn't matter.
Yay.
All right. Yay. We're back. We have a little more of the Metal Action Livecast to go. We're enjoying some delicious hate dogs.
Yeah. Thank you. By Jamie Yosta.
Yeah, something like
Jamie Yosta. 646-929-1357 is our phone number. And
Noah mentioned the Queen of Vagina while we were in break. You remember? And she has a new song out. I don't know if you want to play this. This is called Gaddafi's Dick Exploded in My Hot Wet Pussy.
Is oh my God. What? Seriously?
Yes. You want to hear this?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's the same as the exact.
Gaddafi protesting my pussy. Gaddafi protesting my vagina. Gaddafi protesting my pussy. Gaddafi protesting my vagina.
She's like doing what the Iron Sheik does.
Yeah, but
the Sheik tweets that he's gonna put somebody in a camel clutch and make them humble, and she then takes that same person and puts them in her vagina.
Right.
And makes them humble.
Gaddafi protesting my vagina.
We need the two of them to meet somehow.
Man, imagine what they'll say about each other.
Pop culture mashup. They'd have kids.
I think.
And then give them the crossface.
See, I don't know if this is a real woman. I don't know.
What does that mean?
I think that may be a tranny.
Oh, well.
Don't you think?
It's a real human, at the very least.
But she can't probably reproduce with Iron Sheik, if she's mad.
Well, I'm sure the Iron Sheik can't probably reproduce anymore either.
After all that cocaine.
Yeah. She has no tits. She has an Adam's apple. She has a deep voice. I don't know. It could be a woman. I don't know.
A pussio sounds like a cereal.
Pussio. You eat that with hate dogs. There's another song here called...
Pussios and Hate Dogs.
Obama fucks Michelle in the toilet.
That's a good one.
Floating.
Oh.
Nice. Switched up the beat.
It's like the after church music. Presidential fuck!
That fuck's very Irish.
Presidential fuck!
Fuck!
I like that it's a Michelle and Obama.
Yeah, she's
like,
also Obama.
Barack.
Why didn't this lady perform at the inauguration? What the fuck?
Yeah, fuck Beyonce.
Yeah.
We need to start up a collection to make one of the White House press corps. Next time Obama does a press conference, just be like, sir, have you heard this song? Let me play it for you. And then just play the song.
Imagine
see what he thinks.
It really captures love between you and Michelle.
Yes.
Imagine they don't tell anyone. They just have like Maya Angelou come out and read a poem and introduce her.
How is playing this for the president any worse than sharting in the White House? That happened. This is the next step.
Because this was intentional, I think.
Oh,
you can forgive his trespasses with Al Roker with the shark.
I don't know.
I think this is a pretty song, actually. This is very, very
I like
ode
the,
to love.
I like the music bed a lot better than her normal one.
Yeah. It's upbeat. It's not fucking.
Yeah, she actually has some type of like rhythm in her singing as opposed to just yelling words.
Well, that was very educational.
You want to hear any more of her songs, or is that enough?
Are there any new ones?
I'll read you what the I was born to make Dickies happy.
I mean, I'm assuming it's just I was born to make Dickies happy. I was born to make Dickies happy.
We could just read the song.
Grab things down in the shower.
I'm a big fan of the Dickies brand.
This lady's songs are to be enjoyed the same way Cannibal Corpse songs are to be enjoyed. Just read the song title and
don't torture yourself with the music.
Or anal cunt. It's all in the song title. You don't even need to hear the song.
Let's see what else. Everybody lose your virginity now.
Okay.
Isn't that from Seinfeld? Virginity now. what else? Smell your dirty dicky.
Oh.
Oh, the Pope fucked me in my wet vagina.
Wow, all right, let's
Want to hear that one?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, it's an upbeat one. I thought this would be a bad one.
I wonder who's making her music now.
Dr. Dre.
Look at my bamba.
Which pope is she talking about?
You are the
Pope Pius III.
It could have been John Paul before he died because she was a young girl then. Oh boy.
I like that beat.
She just like presses the demo on the keyboard and starts yelling over it.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Don't ruin the illusion for me, Jake. Don't ruin it.
Haters eat my used bloody tampon.
Oh,
I guess that's me.
As opposed to the brand new bloody tampon that she bought from the store with blood already on it.
Jake, put down that hate dog. I need a bloody tampon.
You know you want her open enough for the next tour.
Oh.
Biggest dick that fucked my street
it.
Pussy. Oh, I'm sorry. All right, well, you get the point.
Yes. Lots of things happen to her pussy.
Noah, do you think you can compete with that level of pop music talent?
Do I have to, like, why is it even a competition? Like, I don't
want
to do anything like that.
If you had to make your own music, do you think you could do better or worse than that?
Noah does make her own music.
Yeah.
Do you?
Do you have any part of your dick? Give it to me.
What?
I didn't hear that.
The most sensitive part of your dick, give it to me.
I remember that one. That's a good one.
Wait, I got another one, actually. Oh, hold on. Sorry. I got it somewhere. Trust me.
So
I'm not racist, but why can't we have slavery again? That was what Rob said in Django.
Inappropriate.
All right. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Have you recorded any music, bro? Have you made it to tape?
Little novel with the protagonist.
We started writing something.
Oh my god, this is
like a Sonny and Cher of metal kind of
feel.
It's gonna be like Ashford and Simpson.
Gashford and Simpson is what you said.
I didn't say that, but that's good. I like that.
Yeah, we've been writing some stuff when we're not getting too stoned and watching The Simpsons. But yeah, I mean, like I've never like recorded a full song. I just like recorded ideas, and then my computer went to shit and fried up all my files.
Mm.
But I don't know. Mm.
What type of stuff are you two jamming on?
We just kind of wing it. We're just piecing together ideas. But
whoa, new project, new projet?
Nah, just for fun. Just for fun.
Yeah, just for fun.
If it ever becomes a project, I'm open to it.
Is it like a dubstep thing?
No.
Drop the beat.
It'll definitely like be something that you listen to when you're high.
Well,
anything
I mean
you
that.
To
yeah.
Something you listen to when you're high.
For me, that's anytime.
Yeah.
It's relaxing and melodic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Sugar Ray.
No, not like Sugar Ray.
I just want to fly. Come on, that's extremely relaxing and melodic.
Wanna fly so high.
Yeah, that's relaxing. Really.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Put your arms around, baby.
See?
I like it. I like the Darren thing,
the dubstep remix of Sugar Ray.
Oh, that reminded me. What's his name? Bam Margera did some dubstep song.
Oh, it was actually pretty funny, I have to say.
But they ripped off Shat in that song.
Did you
hear that? Go to 3 o'clock. 3 minutes.
Oh, hold on. The song is called Bend My Dick to My Ass.
It's about fucking himself in the ass with his own dick.
Is that possible?
Fuck yeah.
For him, I guess.
That's what he's trying to do. Hold on.
But he rips off the song Tit Fuck.
Oh, is that? Oh, well, I guess that. In 3 minutes?
Yeah.
I just want to hear this first hook.
Yo, check it. I want to bend my dick to my ass. So I can fuck myself. I would have bent my dick around the back of my ass so I can fuck myself. Oh, hell no!
This is what I think your project sounds like, this part.
You know it's the best when you sit at the mess to a big ass, thick ass.
Okay, let's go to the 3 minutes.
Why couldn't he have been in the car with Ryan Dunn?
Or
why?
Instead of.
Oh, I'm not good.
I am Chef.
That's probably an homage. It's probably a fan. Come on, he's got to be a fan of that.
Yeah, he's from Pennsylvania. Chef's from Jersey.
Oh, got to be.
The original.
We have a phone call, Rob.
Oh, yeah, I'll take the caller, and then I'll say a little chat story. 718, Brooklyn. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, how are you? Who is this?
I'm Rachel. I'm very good right now. Is Jamie just on, or is he supposed to be on sometime soon?
Yeah, he's on.
Hey,
oh, hey, Jamie. What's good?
How you doing?
My friend wanted me to ask you, do you know a guy by the name of Jimmy? Jimmy
French.
French?
Yeah, Jimmy French. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know?
Good guy.
Oh, my God. He wanted me to say hi for you. For him, yeah.
All right, tell him I said hi.
That's really, you called in to say hi for somebody else?
Yeah, he's busy right now. He's a very strange kid.
He works at the Foot Locker.
How does Jimmy French know Jamie Josta?
He stalks his life. Like, he's been to every show that comes in and around the tri-state area all the time. And he's taking pictures and stuff. He loves you.
And what are you guys' names again?
My name's Rachel. His name's Jimmy French.
Oh, is Jimmy there?
Jimmy told me you're real assholes, by the way. You should really leave him alone. He's getting tired of you.
No, we love Jimmy. He's a cool guy. He's a sweet. He's a sweetheart.
Who's the giggler in the background?
Oh, that's my sister in the background, actually. I don't know if you remember, Jamie, but I'd say like 5 years ago, I had you call up my sister, the one giggling, to say happy birthday to her on the phone.
Oh, yeah, I totally remember that. Yeah.
Oh, she's ecstatic now.
Thought about that every day since that happened. It was one of the highlights.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's very nice of you. Thank you again for that. It was cool meeting you.
I could do it again if, you know, I'm available.
I can pretend it to be my birthday right now.
she'll pretend it's her birthday all over again if that'll work.
Or anything like that, you know, I'm available.
Okay, cool.
Any bar mitzvahs
coming up? You sound Jewish, the two of you.
Oh, Rachel.
I have to say, Rachel. Rachel. Rachel.
No, we're actually Puerto Rican, the both of us.
Roll those H's.
Rachel, yes. You didn't know. My family came through Ellis Island. You know, it was.
You're from Connecticut.
Well, Jamie Jostowitz at first.
It's originally pronounced Hein.
Jostowitz.
No, we're not Jewish. Sorry.
Sorry, I hang up on that.
You're not Jewish? Where are you from?
No, we're not Jewish. Huh?
Where are you from?
Well, we live in Staten Island, but we're Puerto Rican.
Oh, Puerto Rican.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I don't know if you knew that.
What?
Hatebreed.
Hatebreed?
Are you a Hatebreed fan?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Last time I saw you was at PNC when you were on the Mayhem Fest tour.
Oh,
2 years ago, I think.
PNC show, I remember that, yeah.
Oh, my God, that was awesome. I loved it.
Can you guy?
Jimmy went with us.
Actually, I think Jimmy said he saw you there, too. And said hi to you.
Oh, wow, great. I have no idea what you just said.
Wonderful.
Can you guys say Hatebreed, but like Hatebreed?
Hatebreed?
Hatebreed. Wow, I love it when you say it.
Hatebreed.
Clapping back into my Jewish accent from when I was a kid.
I'm not good at this. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I can remember my mama saying to me, Jaime, would you like some kugel?
Sure.
I hate it so much. That's where I came up with the name Hatebreed.
I just
mean Meshuggahna.
That's what she would call me. She would say, Jaime, go and wipe the floor, would you? I'm tired.
What is happening?
And I said, no, Mom, I'm a rebel. Jaime Joshowitz is a rebel.
A rabbi or a rebel?
A rebel and a rebbe. You didn't know that about me, did you? That I'm a coach.
Not at all.
No, you're sneezing.
This is a beautiful story, though.
Thank you for that story.
It got me right here, right in the heart.
Sponsored by Rokia. Gefilte fish.
He just called you a gefilte fish.
Your mother's a gefilte fish.
Don't you dare talk about my mother.
Well,
hi, I'm indeed. Thank you, Rachel, for your call.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Wow.
Well, that was interesting.
You did your Derinsky voice there for a little bit.
I was trying to do a combination of Jamie Joss and Jew, and it just morphed into that.
Fantastic.
Wow. Once we veered off onto that Jew tangent, I made it completely Jewy.
Yeah, it was like this slow progression. It was very subtle.
I'm going to go on Twitter and be like, man, Jamie Joss is weird. I didn't know he was so ethnic.
That clip is going to be on Blabbermouth.
It's going to be on Blabbermouth.
Jamie Josta appears on the Metal Injection Livecast. Here it is, and it's that clip just now.
Jamie Josta, a.k.a. Jaime Jostowitz.
Chaim Jostowitz.
Jimmy Josta reveals Jewish background.
Well, he's probably going to get a lot more votes now for the Golden God.
Or maybe they'll go with the CNN angle and be like, Jamie Josta, this hateful Jewish parody on Metal Podcast.
No. Jamie had nothing to do with that. That was me goofing on those.
Wait, you're not Jamie?
What? Oh, I'm shocked. You didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
Iron Cheek in the chat asks, how do they even fall for that? I'm going to assume because they're dumb.
Two Puerto Rican girls from Staten Island.
Yeah. A few minutes left in the show. The show flew by. I can't believe it's done.
It's not really done. We have 11 minutes.
But, I mean, like, it feels like we've barely been on an hour, but we've been on 2 hours.
Almost.
Not really.
We started at 2:07.
Yeah.
We've been on for 1 hour and 50 minutes right now.
Almost.
I see the recording.
Oh, all right. Fine.
Well then,
I don't count the bland. That's like pre-show bland. It's not until we start talking. Okay,
it's not until Rob starts talking. Let's get real.
Oh, thank you, Noah. Thanks, someone respected the Rob.
For some of us, it's not until Rob stops talking.
That's when the show starts. When he stops talking.
Yes,
we didn't goodbye them, by the way.
It's okay.
Oh yeah, well, I'm sure they can't do subtraction anyway.
We should have won them.
We should have.
Maybe they can call back.
Call back. Talk to Chaim.
Robin. Rachel. Not Robin.
Rachel.
Rachel.
Rachel. Fuck the Rachel.
That's always the best thing about having a guest on is when they're not on, but the caller thinks that they are, and we can fuck with them.
Hey, is Jamie still there?
I feel like they always fall for it, too. Like, yeah, he's right here.
What? Don't they know I sound nothing like Jamie?
Maybe because it's just over the phone and they want to believe.
One of my favorite moments I ever had on this show was when, I don't remember, it might have been Suicide Silencer, it might have been some other band, I don't remember, but when a kid called in before the artist was on and we told them, like, all right, so what's your question going to be? You could practice it on us and then you call back. And you'll ask the band, the question was like, you know, how do you explain the evolution of your sound or something like that? And then when the guy finally called it, and I was like, before we take any calls, I have a question for you. And I asked the question. Totally
this is the Black Dahlia murder.
Oh, okay. I was so proud of that. I love ruining
Because he really wanted to talk to Trevor.
Yeah.
Grindcore Luigi wants to know, is a Jewish hate breed fan in the pit a mocker? As opposed to a masher.
Good question.
It's philosophy. I don't know.
Or a Moshe.
A Moshe. A Moshe. A Moshe.
Yeah,
let's go in the Moshe pit.
That has to be the title of the episode. Let's get in the Moshe pit.
I like Chaim Joshua.
Yeah. I like a rabbi and a rebel.
Yeah.
That was really good.
A rabbi and a rebbe. A rebbe and a rebel.
Yeah. That was my favorite.
You know what it means when you hear that shofar? Split it up. Set it up.
It's a York Circle pit, like a bagel.
It's time for the wailing wall of death.
Can we do a Shofar and Hate Breed mashup right now? Or Klezmer and Hate Breed? Yeah.
This would be a good intro for a hardcore album.
Yeah.
This has like a very great.
Hold on.
I'm holding. This is worth the wait.
Okay.
The whole music.
You ready? Hate bread. That's real bread, not matzo.
Their hardcore is unleavened.
We gotta wait for the build-up.
Holocore.
This works.
So bad, yeah.
By the way, my favorite thing about the entire Jamie Jast interview was when he mentioned the brutal assault fest in Czech Republic.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, is that really what they're calling their fest after everything that happened last year?
I didn't even notice that. Wow.
Yeah, you're fucking asking for it.
Yeah. Oh, no, maybe they're forced to call it that because of, like, some
it's
legal.
Like a warning.
Yeah, it's a warning.
It's like labeling the product.
It's like cigarettes, and they have to tell you it gives you cancer. You may get thrown off the stage by the singer.
That's what it should be called, then. You may get thrown off the stage by the singer fest.
More to the point. Because if it's brutal assault, you may think it's a metaphor, not like for the music, and not literally, you may get brutally assaulted.
It's still Tomming.
It's a good counterpoint to
it. Wow. Oh, it's totally singing right now.
Holy shit. This is like the Pink Floyd and Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Made to go together. Grind for Luigi again. Hate Breed new CD is in stores. The Divinity of Pishy Pasha.
That was good. That was good. It was a good little mashup.
Very good. Better than good. That was great.
Perseverance.
Go ahead, Rob. Just go crazy. Flip the table over.
That's about as much effort as I'm putting into it.
Should just farted in time with your with your grunt.
I've been very
settling.
Sorry, Sid. I was playing something with you.
It's all right.
I want to cut you off.
I haven't been very gassy today. It's weird.
Oh,
well, it's early. You still haven't really eaten.
I've been sick the last few days, so I've been popping medicine like crazy, and it's made me super like nonstop gassy, but. Uh-huh. Not the last couple hours for some reason. You got so lucky.
Anything on the menu for tonight for the big Super Bowl?
By menu, you mean literally like food?
Yeah.
Chips and salsa, and I'll order something.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing together? Just you and your wife?
No, my wife is in Texas right now. Our friend Barry, who was on the show one time and
good guy.
Ruined one of our bits.
Oh,
I didn't remember which one it was.
I remember being upset. Yeah.
He's coming over to take pity on me, so I'm not watching the Super Bowl alone.
Hmm. He has a very specific sense of humor.
Yes.
Like he's just dry wit all the time. So.
Yes.
If you try to do something over the top with him, it's not good.
Once in a while, he'll try to do something silly, and it's just like, that's not you. Stop it. What are you doing?
I went to a butcher shop this week to get
a what?
A butcher shop.
Oh. I thought you said a bunch of shops.
I went to a bunch of shops this week.
All butcher shops.
Yes. They're all pricing them.
They're all butchery.
No, I decided to go to a butcher shop. Because I've been buying steaks because I'm a steak purchaser. And I'm buying them
making a lot of money, huh?
I've been buying. They're not even that expensive.
Good job with synonyms, though.
Yeah.
I've been buying steaks because I am a steak purchaser.
There you go.
Thank you for saying the same thing twice. Go on.
Since I've been going to the supermarket to do it, but I'm like, let me go to the source. Let me go to the people that kill the cows.
Well, no, the source is the cow.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I decided to go anyway. So I went to a butcher shop. And this is the stereotypical butcher shop where the butcher is a total yenta,
just not shutting up. The guy in front of me was just ordering stuff, I guess, for the Super Bowl. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll get a few pounds of wings. He's like, these wings, they're a hot item now.
There's a shortage.
Did you hear about that truck that got robbed? People robbing wings now. This isn't safe. Let me tell you, if you came here a week ago, these wings would be $5 cheaper. But because there was a shortage, my uncle, he owns a shop, and he was supposed to get 20 boxes with about 40 pounds in each box. He only got five.
Wow.
Only got five out of boxes.
Wow.
Instead of 15.
That's
so I'm
crazy.
Sorry, I'm going to have to charge you a little more for this. This is crazy. This
Forget
is,
about it.
These fucking bars now, they're all selling wings because they want you to drink. And then when you drink, you get hungry, you'll pay any price for some wings. And so he has this 20-minute soliloquy about wings.
It's the other way around, though. You eat the wings and you get salty. You know,
yeah.
Beer.
So how much were the wings?
Oh,
what was the price?
I didn't get the wings. I got the steak.
The guy in front of him was getting the wings.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pay attention, will you?
But now I'm gonna get wings next week though when the price goes down because the demand is.
Why not just get chicken breast?
Unless
buy the shittiest part of the chicken.
Unless there's a Pro Bowl, because
Pro
Bowl
is the week before now. Okay. It used to be the week after.
Oh, I didn't realize.
They put it in the boring. They realize there's people waiting too long to get to the Super Bowl.
Mm. But the thing is, nobody watches the Pro Bowl.
Right,
it doesn't matter. They might cancel it now going forward.
I think they should have a skills competition.
The Pro Bowl is like the All-Star game, right?
Yeah.
Is it really an All-Star game? Like,
nobody plays hard.
No one goes
to
it. No one, like, a lot of the guys just sit out of it. And no one in the Super Bowl who can play on
yeah.
it because they have to
– Right.
They play a game.
Yeah.
So,
there's no tackling, basically. It's like two-hand touch.
Yeah, it's like 70-65 every
Is
time.
It really?
Like
is
why
it really
the fuck
two-hand
would
touch?
No.
Risk injury.
They hardly hit each other.
Right. Yeah.
So there's no point to it.
It sounds like there's something, yeah.
They should bring back superstars and have
yeah.
that where they race and everything.
I don't think that was like NFL sanctioned though, but it should be. That was fun.
Sure, everyone likes.
Herschel that. Walker won every year.
Yeah, and you
him and Ronaldo Nehemiah.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, it's the only thing he was good at. He wasn't good at football.
Now
having multiple personalities.
That's true.
Quick prediction: since this airing before the Super Bowl, we can hear how silly we sound. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl. Who do you think is going
to
win?
San Francisco 31-23.
I'm not going to pick a score, but I think the Ravens are going to win.
Okay, no.
I don't know sports.
Baltimore Ravens or San Francisco 49ers?
Purple uniform versus red and gold uniform.
Red and gold uniform.
Okay, there you go.
I was going to say I like the 49ers uniforms better, so I will go with the 49ers.
I like California. Hooray, California.
Noah's like, would you consider moving to California?
I'm already trying to convince all my friends and family to move out to California.
Is there a Sirius office there? You'd have to convince
in
them.
In L.A.
Oh.
I don't know if I would want to stay with Sirius, but...
Oh.
There's
total life overhaul going on.
Have to move on.
She heard about Clear Channel stock being higher, and she's going to Clear Channel.
You're going to work at KROQ in L.A.?
They don't play the kind of music she likes.
I'm going to have a dispensary.
You could be...
Well, I hear it's really hard to get a license now. It's like not
easy. Probably. I'm not really going to have a dispensary.
Oh.
She's Israeli, though, so they'll be like, okay, you're good with money. We can trust you. You can get a license.
She's going to play Mountain Men all day long on her shift.
But you could do it on an actual mountain.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like not opening a dispensary, but just being a licensed grower, like that would be something I would retire to. Like just grow weed.
You think you're going to live long enough to retire?
Sure.
Well, the lifestyle you have.
What I mean is that, like, once I'm done working, like, what do I want to do to retire?
Why would you have to retire? You can still, like, program the website at your dispensary.
Well, I'd be too high.
You always too high?
No, I don't smoke during the day.
Oh, okay.
You can't be a grower and then be, always get high. What are you going to have left to sell?
Well, how do you know if it's ready?
Yeah, you got to try the product.
A little sampling is okay. But
sure. Well, that's what I'm saying. If I grow enough weed, a little sampling would match my current smoking lifestyle.
You can only grow 6 plants a person. That's the legal limit.
Even if you're as big as Rob, you get at least 9.
Well, Rob has his, you know, personal Robert as Bonnie, and then like his personality, Rob from Metal Injection. So that counts as 2 people.
Yeah, I could form a corporation.
Jesus.
And that would be an extra person.
LLC.
Rob Prosbani LLC. That's a good ring to it.
Yeah. I trust that guy.
That'd be cool. Or like owning a dispensary and like coming in and be like, I recommend the
could be a sommelier.
I recommend the Purple Kush today. It's very fresh, very And if you want to just kick back and watch a Super Bowl, it's a great supplement.
Yes, because people will take your recommendations on what to do when watching football, because you watch so much of it.
You exude.
I watch TV.
Well, yeah, he plops in front of the TV and watches all the time, so it's really, that's where the food expertise.
And you don't even do that because you don't have cable anymore. So you watch on your computer monitor stuff you download.
No, I have a TV. I have an additional computer that's just dedicated to my television. I have a TV plugged in, I mean a computer plugged into a television.
But it's still a process. You don't just plop on the TV and whatever's on
it. It could totally be a process. I just drag a folder into VLC player.
See, that's already more stuff. And that's, you control the content.
But yeah.
See, that's well, not plopping in front of the TV and surfing the channels.
You don't have a remote.
I said watch the Super Bowl. I didn't say surfing
the
channels.
Yeah, but you're not going to watch the Super Bowl.
It's streaming online.
That's not my point. A lot of things are streaming online.
You know what I think is absurd? Hulu is having a live stream.
Good job changing the subject, by the way.
A live stream of the commercials of Super Bowl.
There's no teasers for the commercials. There's teaser commercials for the upcoming commercials.
Yeah, like there was a teaser of the Iron Man commercial.
Can we find whoever came up with the concept of this and kill them?
What?
Wait, what happens?
So there's going to be an Iron Man trailer during the Super Bowl. And to hype it up,
didn't
they
that
release
already happen?
No, the Super Bowl is tonight.
No, Iron Man. Isn't that
No,
already?
Iron Man 3, like the new one.
But they also did this for like a Taco Bell commercial that's going to be on today.
Teaser for the commercial. Like,
oh, yeah, that's right, because the commercials are a really big deal in the Super Bowl.
Which, they're not a big deal. It's
but
like
it's the thing is, it's like this is the only time in TV where nobody's fast-forwarding because everybody's watching live, probably.
Right.
So it's like, well, this is probably the only time when a commercial will actually get seen.
That's true.
Well, they also want people who don't give a shit about the game to watch the game.
Yeah.
So, like, there's people who don't care at all that they want to see the new commercial.
Which was us last year, not you sitting down. Me and Noah, we got together with a bunch of people and watched Super Bowl, and it was just like 20 minutes in, you realize, wait a minute. I'm watching football.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
I'll be honest with you. I'm a big sports fan, and I don't give a shit about the Super Bowl. I don't really care unless my team is in it.
That's it.
I'll still watch.
I watch it. I do watch it anyway, but I just don't, you know. I'm going to probably be playing poker tonight and watching it there, but not sitting and watching it. I don't give a shit.
But then once Beyoncé gets on stage, that's when the poker game is folded.
Right,
everyone turns around.
Sure, right. These guys wouldn't know Beyonce from
I feel like they would know Beyonce. Maybe not her music.
Everyone knows Beyonce.
Yeah.
You have no choice but to know Beyonce. Yeah.
Beyonce. Who is this Beyonce over here?
Beyonce.
Derinsky. Would you fuck this Beyonce?
Explain this Beyonce.
If you're fucking this Beyonce, would you let me watch? I'd just be looking at you, not Beyonce.
You're a handsome man.
We should have, just go through, like, what are we making fun of right now? One of the guys you play poker with, right? He's just...
Well, he doesn't really show up that often.
Oh, that's
right. He's there once in a while now.
He just...
He probably heard you making fun of him.
I'm sure he has a computer and listens to this. And
can we invite him to the show one week?
Sure.
Derinsky, you have a great podcast here.
See, he's such a good guy that I think he wouldn't even care that we ragged on him like that.
The weird part will be when he comes in here, he's like, Rob, what are you doing here?
I thought I was alone with Derinsky.
Rabinsky, what are you doing here?
Rabinsky.
You know Derinsky too?
Rabinsky, Derinsky, my worlds are colliding here.
His poker friend, his bathhouse friend.
Oh, wait a minute.
I thought I'd give you a little tongue.
So yeah, I talked about this on the show, but if you didn't hear that, it was this old dude that used to, he was very aggressive in saying hello to you. He'd give you the Sicilian kiss, you know, on each cheek, and then he'd just linger a little too long on the cheek. And then one time he actually snuck up behind me and kissed my neck. He gave me a kiss on the neck, and it was very uncomfortable.
So now do you always sit, like, on the opposite side of the poker table?
He's hardly ever there, so it's not an issue usually. But he doesn't say. He was there about a month ago, and he was just like, it was this other a friend of mine that was there, this guy Jimmy. He was actually on the show here once a long time ago. And he's like, Derinsky, you're a handsome man, but this Jimmy over here, he's a real handsome man.
He's over you now. Wow.
Yeah, good. Cool. See you later. He did that with this other kid, too. This kid showed up. His name was Josh. Josh, you're dressed real sharp. You're looking good. The whole time he just says comments about every man, every relatively young man at the table. Not that I'm a young man, but at that game, I'm a young man.
Yeah. Dorinsky does sound an awful lot like Sandusky.
Oh, hey. Wouldn't that make me the Sandusky, though?
No, just it popped into my head, so I said it.
Fuck the Sandusky! Fuck the Sandusky! He's not from Minnesota.
True.
All right. Well, that was a great show. I really enjoyed it. I don't care
so
if you, the listener, enjoy it. But
yeah,
I
fuck
it.
You, listeners.
No, please come back. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Sid won't be here, though.
Nope.
Maybe we'll have some special guests sitting in for Sid.
Jake won't be here either.
No,
there's no reason to listen.
Darren, will you be here?
I don't know. I'll let you know.
Oh,
I'll see whatever Sid's doing if it's
in the next
game.
Oh, I'll be there.
Okay, there you go.
What?
Fuck you guys.
Spurs.
Looks like it's just me and you,
Rob. I'll be here.
Well, then. All right, well, thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.
I liked it.